Shir and Sefer Nida Daf Samach Beis. We will begin on Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis at the bottom of the Amid at the new Mishnah. As we have been learning the halachas of Ksamin, and the obvious issue when we discuss Ksamin is that every Kesem, by definition, we don't know where this stain came from. And what our Mishnah will now discuss is that there is a way of possibly verifying if this kesem is from dam, or is this kesem from a different type of stain that would of course not be a question in halacha. The Mefarshim point out that the issue that we're discussing, the procedure that we're going to be discussing, the Mishnah and the Gemara Mitzvashem, of how to make this determination with the number of, with the detergents that are mentioned and how they are applied, does not only apply actually to the situation of a kesem, but they also apply to the situation of a nida, where certainly there was dam nida on a garment, on a beged, and just because there's dam nida on a beged, doesn't mean that it will always remain tamei. And if by going through the procedure discussed in our Mishnah now, we remove or even just fade that stain, the halacha is that that beged will no longer have the issue that it has in it dam nida. And after it's put into the mikveh, after it's immersed in the mikveh, it will be a tar beged as tar beged. Furthermore, the Shulchan Aruch says that even though our Mishnah describes this procedure with the detergents, we are experts, says the Shulchan Aruch, in knowing how these, what are these detergents and how to apply them. And therefore, Bezman HaZeh, nowadays we cannot rely on this procedure outlined in the Mishnah. However, the Levush says that even though we're saying that we can't rely on this procedure, and it doesn't mean that we should be makel, because we don't know how to determine if the stain is a kesem, or is it a stain from dye, or from paint, or from something else. Because this remains, explains the Levush, a suffix b'chisaron yediyah, a suffix that's based on our lack of knowledge. And the halacha is that a suffix b'chisaron yediyah, as far as the halacha is concerned, is not considered a suffix. So to review some of the basic concepts and basic points that needed to be understood to understand our Mishnah. Again, we begin that if we have a kesem, the halacha is that one has to go through this test. If the test proves that, if the test doesn't get off any of the stain, that is a proof that the kesem is a stain of, not of blood. If, however, it does remove or fade the stain, then it proves that this is, that this, that proves that this is indeed a kesem from blood. And as we'll describe, and the halacha therefore is different. What do I mean when we say the halacha is different? If it turns out that this is not a stain of blood, Tvila in the mikveh, as is clear in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, will be required anyway. And the Rishonim give different reasons why, even if we're certain that it isn't a kesem of blood, Tvila is required. Some Rishonim explain, because wherever we have the option of being able to do something and not have a question, that's what we ought to do. And here too, even if we're able to see that this is not a kesem of blood, it isn't 100% conclusive proof, and therefore the right thing to do is to put it into the, is to immerse this beged into the mikveh. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out that because while it's a kesem, people are not likely to pay the proper attention because they're assuming that it's tamei anyway. So this beged is subject to hesach hadas, and since this beged is subject to hesach hadas, again, another reason why tefillah is required. But if, so in other words, the purpose of doing this bedikah is only to determine that the stain is probably not blood, but a dye or a paint, and even if it does turn out to be dam, it's a tumah belua, which is going to be a very big part of our shiur today, proving that something that has a tumah belua is not tumah. The question that the Rishonim still debate is, what would be the halacha if we go through the Zayin Samonim test and the stain remains intact? What is the halacha regarding the woman being permitted to have relations with her husband? Do we assume that she's not a nida, and therefore she's perfectly permissible to have relations with her husband? That is the opinion of the Rambam. The Ramban and the Raiva disagree, and they say that the seven Samamonim tests that we're going to discuss has no bearing on the woman. It's a question on the beged, on the garment. But that doesn't, since it doesn't conclusively prove, as we just said a moment ago, that the stain is indeed a red dye, so therefore the Ramban and Ravid say that the woman, in order to be able to have relations with her husband, has to have tefillah. The Sidrei Tahara, in defending the opinion of the Rambam, makes a distinction between the tumah of the garment and the tumah of the woman. Because he explains, and we'll speak about this later in our shir, min ha-toira, a woman who doesn't have hagosha, doesn't become a nida. But that doesn't change the fact that the nida blood itself, in regards to taharis, is tamer. And therefore, says the Rambam, even if we'll have a question on the status of the garment, that and even if that won't be enough of a proof to prove that the garment is tar, for as we just said, the garment still has to be put into the mikvah, even if it turns out that it wasn't, that the test seems to indicate that it wasn't dam, when it speaks about the woman, since there was no hargosha, the halacha is the woman, according to the Rambam, will be mutter to her husband even without going to the mikvah. Others explain that the Ramban and the Ravid feel that we have to be more machmer in the permissibility to her husband than it is regarding taharis, especially as we just learned, it's easy to put to go to the mikvah. And therefore, even if we'll have certain leniencies regarding the beged that went through this test, we will not be lenient according to those Rishonim, and the woman would only be mutter to her husband if she went first to the mikvah. So begins the Mishnah, Shiva Samonim, Mavir Malakesem. We put these seven detergents on the kesem. Mefarshim explained, the reason the Mishnah uses the word sam usually means a medicine, because indeed here it's to be treated like a medicine, because through this test we could determine if she is indeed tahor or not. Right, tafel, and all of these items will be described in the Mishnah and the Gemara. Raw saliva may grease him, may reglaim urine, neser uburis, kumunya va'ashlik, hitbilu. So as we've said earlier in our introductory remarks, no matter what the test shows, the beged has to be taken to the mikvah. So hitbilu, if we have this beged and we put it into the mikvah, and then also gabba taharis, it was used for taharis, hever leim sheva samonim, and then we do this test with the zayin samonim, the seven detergents, v'loy over, and it doesn't take off the stain. So that's a proof, harezet seva, that this stain came from dye, not from blood, and therefore hataharis taharis. Any taharis that came in contact with this beged after it was put into the mikvah will be tahar. Ve'en etzarach lahatvul, and there is no need to take that garment to the mikveh again. However, over a shadiyah, if after going through this test, it turns out that the stain goes away, or that the stain fades the color, so that's a proof, ha'reiz a kesem, that this is a kesem, and that the hair is tameis. Because when the beged was immersed, before it went through this cleaning, it explained the mefarshim like toivel to sheretz b'yadai. The tumah is still on the beged, and therefore the halacha is hataras tameis. The taharas that were put in contact with this garment prior to being washed off are still tamei, and furthermore, tzarech lahatpel. Now we have to be toivel the garment again after we cleansed it and got off the stain, or at least got the stain faded. Ezer roi tafel, says the Mishnah, what is the definition of roi tafel? Kosh lo tam klum, that saliva after a person didn't eat at all, which we'll explain more in the Gemara tomorrow exactly what that means. May greisen, what is the definition of split bean? Greisen are the split beans. What is may greisen? Lisa's greisen shapul chalukas and nefesh. Chewing beans, which were separated from the peels. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that the beans had this peel taken off. Then the person chewed on that bean, and that mash was then applied to the stain. Or that the bean was cooked so much that the peel fell off from the bean, and then that mash is used to cleanse the stain. May reglayim is as may reglayim, shechmitzu, that they became fermented, they became spoiled. V'tzarech lahasachsech, and in order for the test to work, you have to rub with these materials, sholosh pam l'kalech v'echad. Each one of these materials had to be used scrubbed with three times on the stain. Hevir and shleike sivim, if the order that was described at the beginning of the Mishnah wasn't followed, oy shehever shevis amarkachas, instead of putting one after the other, he put them all at the same time, like also like klum, it's not considered a valid test. In order for it to be considered a valid test, it had to be done specifically in the order described. The Ramam Panu points out that the Mishnah uses the words lo'osav lo'klum. Why does the Mishnah just say lo'osav klum? So he explains, because one would think that if he didn't follow, if the proper order wasn't followed, then not only is it not a valid test, but furthermore, you can never really do a test on this piece of material ever again. Teaches us the Mishnah, lo'osav lo'klum, what you've done will not be effective, and you'll have to do it over again, but if you will do it over again properly, then that will be a proper test and a proper verification. Begins the Gemara, Tana, when we speak in the Mishnah about a Neser, it means Neser Alexandris, Loinetzer and Tafris. Buris, what is the definition of Buris? Says the Gemara, Amr Yehuda, Za'ahalo. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, we're going to learn in the Braisa, that the Braisa discusses which growths are subject to Hilchos Shemitah, and the Braisa says, Haburis va'oil, clearly indicating that Buris and oil are two different things. Answers the Gemara, Elamai Buris, what is the definition of Buris? Kavrisa, sulfur. Ask the Gemara Vermini, we learned in a Braisa, when Chazal added different growths that are subject to Hilchos Shemitah, Halavitzin, Valaunin, Haboris, Vayil, all of them are included in different materials that are subject to Hilchos Shemitah. V'boris, Kavrisa, and if you're going to say that the definition of Boris means sulfur, ask the Gemara, Yisle Shvius, does sulfur subject to Hilchos Shviyos. For Tanya, have we not learned in another brisa, Zeh Klal, Kol Sheyesh LeIkur, anything that is connected to the ground, that has a root connected to the ground, Yesh LeShviyos, is subject to Hilchos Shmita. The Kol Sheein LeIkur, Ein LeShviyos. And I saw two pshatim, and Yesh LeIkur, and Ein LeIkur. One pshat, Yesh LeIkur, means that the thing that grows from the ground always is connected to the root and nourishing from the root. Another pshat, however, the pshat that most Rishonim learn, is that something that has always something left in the ground through the summer and through the winter is subject to Hilchos Shmita. Other items are not subject to Hilchos Shmita. Although I saw that the Sfasem asks, if that's the explanation of Kosha Yesh LeIkur and Kosha Ein LeIkur, then Tvua, grain, isn't in the ground all year round. And of course we know that grain is subject to Hilchos Shmita. So how would we understand this Braisa? Answers the Sfasem, that this Braisa is only referring to items that we have a question about their Shmita status. That means something which is certainly a food and certainly subject to Hilchos Shmita, there we don't need the Braisa to give us any rules. And there is no question that it's subject to Hilchos Shmita. When we start discussing things that grow from the ground, that it isn't so clear how they ought to be treated, that's when the Braisa uses the Kosher Yesh LeIkur or the Kosher Ein LeIkur test to determine what its status should be. Another pshat that I saw that the Mefarshim suggests that there may be a difference regarding Hilchos Shmita and Hilchos Bir. And as far as Hilchos Bir, this Braisa is only speaking only regarding Hilchos Bir. It's not speaking about Hilchos Shmita itself. But, again, if we're going to define Boris as sulfur, how could anyone suggest that Boris is subject to Hilchos Shmita? So the Gemara goes back to its original teretz. Elamai Boris, then what's the definition of Boris? Ohola. Ask the Gemara for Tanya, but we come back to our question that we asked earlier. Haboris for oil. Isn't that clearly indication that Boris and oil are two different things? Answers the Gemara, Trei Gavni Ola. There are two types of oil. One is known as oil, and one is known as boris. The next detergent listed in the Mishnah was Kaminya. What is Kaminya? Amar Yehuda, Shaloif Dots. It's a type of grass that they used to dry and then grind up and use as some sort of a soap. For Ashley, the next detergent that was mentioned is Ashley. Asked him, what is Ashley? Amar Shmuel, Shaltinam Mechusa Yama. I asked this question to the people that traveled in the sea that would experience a lot of different materials. Vamar Ashley Gishmei. This is something known as Ashlega. Umishtakich Bein Nikvim Aginisa. And it's found in the crevices of pearls. Umafgalei Beram to the Parzalon. And to take it out, you need to have a pointy iron instrument to scrape out the ashlag. So we learned in the Mishnah, if first this garment, this piece of material on which the keselin was found, was put into the mikvah, and then he goes through the test of putting on the seven detergents, and it didn't come off at all, that's a proof that this was a stain, and since it's only a stain, if it was in contact with Taharis after it was put into the mikvah, it's not, those Taharis remain fine. Tana Rabbanan, so we learned in the Braisa, Hevel of Sheva Samanim, if he put on the seven detergents on this piece of material, V'loy Avar, and it didn't take off the stain, and then he put on a detergent known as Tzofim, and that took off the stain, then the halach is Taharis of Tumeis. That what the Taharis are Tumeis. asked the Gemara, Tzafen Tzaben Nami Mavir. What are you assuming? You're assuming that since the Tzafen took off the stain, that is a proof that this is blood, and therefore the garment was still Tamei. But why should you say that? Why can't we say that the reason it came off is because Tzafen has the ability not only to take off stains of dam, but Tzafen has also the ability to take off dye, paint stain. And therefore, why do we say that that's what happened here? It is a paint stain, and the reason it came off is because of the Tzafen. So why should it be machmer? Answers the Gemara. Ella, what is the case? Hevel of Shisha Samonim. He put on 6 of the 7 detergents. V'loy Avar. And the stain didn't come off. Now, for Hevel of Tzafen. And now he put on Tzafen and V'Avar. And the stain came off. Says the Braisa. The Braisa means to teach us Teres of Teremes. Because we need to be concerned, says the Braisa. Shem Hever Shivi Mitchila. Had he put on the 7th detergent as he should have, Shema Avar, that would have taken off the stain, and that would have been a proof that this Kesem is from them. As Taisus, obviously, if you didn't follow the directions, and you didn't put on the 7th Sam, we'll never know if it was Dam or if it was Seva, and of course, we have to be Machmer. Answers Taisus, that the Chiddush of the Braisa is that he put on first the 6 detergents and they didn't have any effect at all. It didn't fade the stain in any way. Shouldn't that be an indication that this is not dam? For were it dam, shouldn't have the fact that I put on it 6 samonim prove that it's not a stain, that it's not dam? Teaches us the Braisa that's not the case. As long as you didn't put on all 7 samamonim, we can never know. What would be the halacha, the Beit Achrayim, if he put on 6, the 7 detergents, and then he put on Tzafen, and still the stain wasn't removed? So is that a proof that this is dam? Because Tzafen usually takes off paint. Or it's not a proof at all. The Masha says that as soon as you put on the 7 detergents and nothing happens, the fact that afterwards you still put on the Tzafen and still nothing happens is immaterial and it's considered not to be a stain of dam. The Rishash disagrees, and the Rishash says that in such a situation we would actually have to be machmer. The fact that the Tzafen didn't have any effect here is a proof that it's dam and not just dye. Tanya, continues the Gemara, another braisa. Have a lot of shiva samon of aloy avar. He put on the 7 detergents and nothing happened. So as we've been learning from the Mishnah, at this point the person should stop. And at this point the beged is tohar. But what he did was shoran v'avar. He did this again. He went through the 7 samimonim test again, and at that time the stain came off. Teaches us the braisa tarois of taros. Then they're still considered tar. However, qualifies Reb Zeira, Reb Zeira, loy shanu el atar shenasa ben tachpoises rishayon l'shnia. That means we have here a person who has this garment with the stain on it. He took it to the mikveh. He then did the test, and the test didn't get off the stain. So the halacha is that we consider this garment clean. Says the Gemara that it's considered tar regarding any taharis that came in contact with it before he went through the second test. Avol taharis shenasa achat tachpoyis shniya. Any taharis that came in contact with this garment after the second test, taharis of tameis, before you take, and the second test proved that it was indeed tamei, because if it weren't tame, then it's indeed dam, because the dam, it came off. Now, until he takes it to the mikvah, it's considered tame. Shrei hikbet alav ofer. So as the Meiri explains, not only anything that came in contact with it between the first and second washing has this halacha, but even anything that came in contact before the first washing, after it was taken to the mikveh as well. Only whatever comes in contact with this garment after the second time it went through this test. And at that point when it went through the second test, now we know that it's tamei. The halacha will be at this point that anything that comes in contact with it before it's taken to the mikveh, the halacha is that it's tamei, any tariff that come in contact with a tummy. Why? Shrei hikbet alav. The fact that he went through this a second time is a proof that he's makbid on it, and therefore it has a different halacha. So there's a machlokes rishonim, why hikbet alav should make a difference. Rashi explains that by doing the test again, he's showing that to him it's a Suffolk dam, and since it's a Suffolk dam, therefore it's treated like dam when it's indeed proven to be dam. Taisus HaRosh explains, because the issue is that it's not considered Belua. In other words, why after going through the washing procedure are we not concerned on the tumah of this beged? Because even if it were dam, by going through this procedure of washing, we turn the dam into dam belua. This person, however, by having gone through the test, shows that it's not dam belua, and therefore it will give off tuma. Ask the Gemara. But the Rishonim point out, before we point out the Gemara's next question, that is only regarding this discussion that we're having now, is only if the person did the washing again because he wasn't convinced that his first test was really proof of what is happening here. But certainly point out to Rishonim, there is somebody who went through this test and didn't come off the stain, and therefore we say that the garment is tar. And then he'll wash the garment again, because people wash the garments that they use. That doesn't have any bearing on what we are discussing. Amalei Abel Ravashi, Otavik Pedetali Milsa. We're saying the fact that he washed it again shows that it makes a difference. According to Rashi, the Gili Das, it's a question of Gili Das. According to the Rosh, as we just said, it's a question that's no longer Tumah Belua. Ask the Gemara, is the Hilchas Tumah and Tahara dependent on if he's Makbid or not? Amalei, to which Ravashi responded, in. Yes, Peda does have a place in the Halacha. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa. Rabchi Omer, Dama Nida Vada. What would happen if you have a piece of material that for sure had on the Dam Nida? So the halacha is, Mavalov Shiva Samonim, you also wash it with these seven detergents, Umavatloi, and that makes that beged no longer to be considered a beged that has on a dam nida. For my, but if the dam nida didn't come off through this washing, why should it make a difference just because I washed it? Why should that be good enough? Hadam nida hu, isn't there dam nida on this beged? Yet we see that it's still tahor. Why? Alma, what do we see from here? Because once you went through the washing procedure, but pay the talion elsa, it shows that you don't care. And even if it looks like them, by you having washed it, it's not considered a concern anymore. Achinami, here too we apply the same concept, but pay the talion elsa, since you washed it again, therefore it's tahor. It shows that you consider it dam, and therefore it will be treated like a garment that has on it dam. A few words of Hagdama, of introduction to the next piece of Gemara. One is we've spoken in our shiurim about the mayonis hazov, that the liquid that comes out of the body of azov is tamei. But actually, there are two different categories of liquids. There are liquids that are considered mayonis hazov, that are tamei midaraisa, that even have the ability to transmit tumah to other vekelim, and the characteristics that we've discussed earlier in Masech and on the sechta for those liquids to be tamei midaraisa are that they're misagel, that they collect in the body, and also they are liquids that get reabsorbed in the body if they're not expelled. And then there are other liquids which don't have these characteristics, even though they emanate from azov, or from azova, from a nida, or from a mitzayra, but they will only be considered a rishon l'tuma, which a rishon l'tuma can only transmit tuma to oichlin and mashkin, to food and drink, not to adam v'keilim. Another word of introduction. We've learned about tuma belua. Tuma belua means that if this tuma is swallowed up in another object, that doesn't transmit tuma. The classical example of tuma belua is if there's a kezias of a mace, which we know the kezias of a mace is a very high level tuma, and if a kezias of a mace is swallowed by an animal, and that animal is in the house, or somebody comes in contact with that animal, that person or that animal, that person or that house will not be tamei, because the tuma is considered tuma belua. So begins the Gemara by quoting a Mishnah Masech Tekelim. Tanan Hosn, Charosn, if you have pieces of broken earthenware. So these pieces of earthenware are not mekabel tuma because they're broken pieces of earthenware. However, even though they have this characteristic, shenishtam ben zov shepol mashkin, if these pieces of earthenware absorb the liquid of a mashka of a zov, and now v'noflu avir ha-tanner, they fall into the tanner, and as the Mefarshim explained, it's specifically the avir ha-tanner, because a tanner in those days was made out of cheres, out of earthenware, and we know that by earthenware, the tum is only me'aviroi, from inside the kli, not from migaboi, not from the outside. For husaka tanner, and now the tanner gets heated up, hatana tanner. The tanner becomes tamei, shesoif hamashkin lotzes. The heat will draw out the liquid from these earthenware, and therefore it will make the oven tamei. Of course, the Mefarshim explain that this halach is not only by earthenware. The same halach is by kli matchis. The reason the Mishnah chose, explained the Mefarshim, to speak about kli cheres is because we know that metal utensils could be kashered. Earthenware cannot be kashered. The reason earthenware can't be kashered is because the heat that's normally needed to take out the tam through the kashering process doesn't work by kli cheres. So we would think that perhaps, as far as this halach as well, even if the liquid were absorbed by kli cheres, they don't come out, teaches us the Mishnah. That's only as far as kashering is concerned, but not as far as this halacha. Certainly as far as this halacha is concerned, the heat will extract from the kli cheres the liquid. That's one shot that I saw the Rishonim give, why the Mishnah chose to speak about shards of cheres and not metal. Another pshat that I saw is that by metal, if indeed it was heated, and as we're learning and we'll discuss extensively, the liquid is extracted, so since metal is subject to kashering, once it's heated and it's extracted, the halacha will consider the liquid no longer there. On the other hand, by kli cheres, since as we just said, kashering, heat extraction never completely extracts the liquid, so even if it was heated once, that doesn't mean we shouldn't assume that the liquid will come out again through the next time it's exposed to heat. comments Rish Lakish on that Mishnah. Om Rish Lakish, Loshna El Mashnu Kalim. The halacha that we just learned in that Mishnah is only regarding Mashkin that don't have the high level of Tumas Mashkin of Mayonis Hazov that we spoke about in introductory comments. Ava Mashkin Chamurim, but when we speak about liquids that have a high level of Tuma, the saliva and the urine and the semen that have all those characteristics that make those Mashkin into Av HaTuma, Tuma Apish Levels Katana. Even if the oven wasn't yet heated, still they consider tummy. The fact that they can come out according to Rish Lakish is enough. Rav Yochanan Omar, Mashkin Echen, Mashkin Kalim, Vakid, Mashkin Chamurim, it makes no difference if it's Mashkin that are tummy midaraisa or Mashkin that are tummy midarabonon. Im Hesukat Taner, if the Taner was heated and the liquid absorbed in these charsim comes out, then this tuma, Eloi, if it wasn't yet heated, and the fact that it can get heated, Eloi. So how do we understand the machlokes of Yochanan and Rish Lakish? The Rechrayim give a number of ways of understanding the machlokes. The simple way of explaining the machlokes is, do we apply here the concept of tuma belua or not? Rabbi Yochanan applies here the concept of tuma belua, as we have in other areas of halacha as well. And therefore, as long as the mashkin are still absorbed in the charsin, the halacha of tuma belua will apply, says Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish, on the other hand, says that we only say tuma belua in the case that I described, in the case of an animal that swallowed tuma. But here we're not speaking about an animal that swallowed tuma, and therefore here we don't apply the concept of tuma belua. And since we don't apply the concept of tuma belua, so if it's tuma midaraisa, he'll give off the tuma even when it's still in the charsin. If it's only tuma drabonon, drabonon were more lean. That's the pshat that we're going to learn the Gemara with. Rav Chaim Brisker has a different way of explaining Rav Shlokish's opinion, and he says as follows: that by tuma kala, it's only a tuma that the drabonon established. And Rabbanan established that that tuma is only tuma as long as we have the actual liquid here. But when we don't have the actual liquid here, they didn't say it's tuma. Whereas by tuma deraisa, there, the tuma is there no matter what, even if the liquid is not right now accessible to us. Eitzer of Yochanan Rish Lakish asked of Yochanan Rish Lakish that you say that when something is tameh, when you say something is tameh, it absorbs tumah, even if the tumah isn't yet extracted, it's still giving off tumah. We learned in our Mishnah, if we have this beged on which there's the stain, and we learned in the Mishnah, Hippilu was put in the mikvah, Bracha gal of Taharis, and then it was used for Taharis. And then Vahaval of Shim Samonim, and then they did the seven detergent tests for Lo'avar, Harezet Tahar, we say that's a stain, the taros of taharis, and any taharis that came in contact with this beged after it was put in the mikvah remained tar, vein tzarf lahatbol, and as we learned, there's no need to put the beged in the mikvah again. Now the question is, how can we say and be so certain, as we said at the beginning of our shir, this test is not 100% conclusive. The reason we relied on the test was because we also, as we said at the beginning of the shiur when we learned the Mishnah, we're combining this with the fact that the tumah here would be a tumah belua. But according to Rish Lakish, there is no concept of tumah belua. So how can we be lenient here? Amalei, to which Rish Lakish replies, Hanach l'ksam d'rabbanan. Here we're speaking about a kesem. And as we've been learning in our shiurim, the whole concept of ksamim is only the rabbanan. And therefore, we could be more lenient, as Rish Lakish indeed is, by Tumah Derabbanan, we are indeed always lenient with Tumah Belua. Mefarshim, I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, however, quotes his father-in-law, Rabbi Yashiv Zichrono Livracha. Rabbi Yashiv says that even though we're saying now, Hanach Tumah Ksamim, which are Derabbanan, that doesn't mean, says Rebbe Yashiv, that we could be lenient in Hilchas Nida if a woman is considered a Nida because of a Kesem. That means, if we'll have a woman that finds a Kesem on her garment, just to use the simplest example, and it's larger than the size of the gris, that we've been saying that that woman would be Tamei, doesn't mean that once we say that the woman is Tamei, says Rabbi Yashiv, all of Hilchas Nida apply to her, the same Hilchas Nida to when a woman has a regular discharge in terms of her, what she may or may not do together with her husband. Ask the Gemara, ask Rabbi Yochanan, Vatan Rabbi Chiya, has not Rabbi Chiya taught us, Dam Anida Vadai, that even if you have a garment that has on it the dam of a Nida, so the garment is certainly Tamei, there's no question. Just by putting on the seven detergents, it's enough. But the question is why? What are you going to say? Because you put on the seven detergent, that makes it into Tumah Beluah? But according to Reish Lakish, when we're speaking about a Tumah Daraisa, there is no heter of Tumah Beluah. And it says, the Gemara Amalei Rebbe Lashana. This Braisa, Rebbe didn't teach us this halacha in a Mishnah. And therefore, I don't rely on the Braisa, because Rav Chiya Manole, where does Rav Chiya say this from? It's not authoritative Braisa. So ask the Rishonim, throughout Shas, we have Braises that are Braises that teach us halachas that were not taught in a Mishnah. Why? Over here, the fact that it wasn't taught in a Mishnah makes the Braisa non-authoritative. Answer the Rishonim, for a Braisa to be considered authoritative, there has to be at least some remez, there has to be some point in a Mishnah mentioning the same concept of the Braisa. The Gemara is saying, Reish Lakish is saying to Rabbi Yochanan, that this halacha that we're learning in the Braisa has absolutely no source in the Mishnah, and a Braisa that has absolutely no source in the Mishnah is considered non-authoritative. So Rabbi Yochanan asks another question to Rabbi Yochanan. We know that a Revi Estam of a Mace is Metam. Eish Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Revi Estam Shneva Babayis, if there's a Revi Estam in a house, Habayis Tomei. Vamri lo, the Mishnah says, it's a Mishnah in Masecht Olos, Vamri lo Habayis Tor, says the Gemara of Eloi Pligi, these two rules really don't disagree. Haba Kelim Mikari, if there were Kelim in the house, and then there was a Revius brought into the house, then those Kelim are Tamei, Haba Kelim Lipsoif, but if then that Revius got absorbed into the ground, and then you bring Kelim to the house, those Kelim will not be Tamei. So Aruch Ner makes two interesting observations. One observation is that this is obvious, that if the Kelim were in the house and a Revius of Dam was brought into the house, so of course everything that's in the house is Tamei. What does the Mishnah have to teach us? So answer Aruch Ner. The Chiddush here is that let's say there was a Revius of Dam of the Mace in the house, and part of that Revius began to get absorbed in the ground, and then you brought Kalim to the house. As long as the entire Revius was not yet absorbed in the ground, the halach is that those Kalim will be Tamei, even though they weren't exposed to a complete Revius of Dam. Furthermore, the Aruch Ner points out that this part of the Mishnah that the Gemara just quoted and explained really has nothing to do with the issue that we're discussing, that we're about to begin discussing about Tumah Beluah. So why does the Gemara discuss it? Says Aruch Ner, since this is a Mishnah, Masechta Olos, part of Seder Taharis, and there is no Gemara on Seder Taharis, so whenever the Gemara has the opportunity to explain a Mishnah from Seder Taharis, even the part of the Mishnah that really doesn't have much relevance to what we are learning, the Gemara will quote it. And that's why the Gemara goes into it. But now the Mishnah continues. Nivl b'tzus. If this Revius Dam was absorbed by a garment, im eskabesis v'yotz men Revius Dam, if when you wash it, a Revius Dam will come out, tamei. Mimlav, but if not, tahoir. So the Machlokes were showing them how we would do this test. Rashi says the way we do the test is that we see how much water we began with in washing this garment, and then we see how much liquid there is after we finish washing the garment, And if there's a revius more of water after we wash the garment versus when we began washing with the amount of water we began, it's a proof that there's a revius dam here. Tosfos and many Rishonim disagree with Rashi, because they say just because you don't have more an extra revius doesn't mean you don't have a revius dam. Because what might have happened, they say, is that some of the water might have remained in the garment and you still have a revius dam. And therefore, they say what you should do is as follows. That you should bring an amount of water and wash the beged, and now squeeze that water out, and you have the water that ostensibly will have a reddish tinge to it. And then bring the amount of water you began with and add a revius dam. And look at the color. If the color of these two waters is the same, or certainly if the color of the original one is darker, that's right if you have a revius dam. Otherwise, you don't. But what we see from here is that even though it may have a revius dam in it, as long as it doesn't come out, it's not tame. It's clearly different than what Rish Lakish taught us, because Rish Lakish taught us that even if it's belua, if there's a revius dam belua, it should give off tumah, if it's tumah deraisa. And it says the Gemara, Amar of Kahana, Mekula revius shonakan. This is not your regular case of revius dam. Shani tam tavusa derabon. Here we're talking about dam tavusa. The definition of dam tavusa is if a person, Rahman Slan, was dying, and blood was coming out of his body, and some of the blood came out before he died, and some of the blood came out after he died. And we don't know which is the blood. So Chazal said that the entire blood should be considered Tameh, but it's only Tameh Midrabanan. Since it's only Tameh Midrabanan, as we've been saying, even Rish Lakish concurs that we don't say Tumah Belua by something which is only Tameh Midrabanan. But now, as the Gemara, so till now Rabbi Yochanan was asking questions to Rish Lakish. Now Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan. Eitz Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. It says in the Mishnah, the same Mishnah that we just quoted, Kala Belua Sheni Yochalot Seis Tar. So it says if it's something Belua that can't come out, that's when it's Tar. Clearly indicating Ha Yochalot Seis, that if it can't come out, Tameh, it remains Tameh Afal Gab Delay Nosik, even though it hasn't yet come out. Amar Papa. So therefore, a papa explains. Kol echadein yochalot says, if the absorbed liquid can't come out, there will not be a machlokes or shlokes of yochron the rehakol tor. In a situation where yochalot says it could come out, the hikbar alof, and the person wants to get it out, the rehakol tummy, everybody will agree that it's tummy. Ki pligi, where do Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish disagree? The yochalot says it can come out, lo hikbar alof, but the person doesn't necessarily want to get that liquid out. Masover, Rish Lakish's opinion is, Kiva the Yochalot says, since it can come out, Afgab Dloy Hikbarlov, even though the person isn't necessarily interested in getting it out, it's already enough to be Tomei. Or Masover, Yochanan's opinion is, Afgab the Yochalot says, just because it can't come out, only in Hikbarlov, if the person wants to get the liquid out, and it can come out, and it's a Tomei Deraisa, that's when in it will be Tameh, Loi, otherwise Loi, it won't be subject to Tumah Deraisa, it will be considered Tumah Belua, and it's not Tameh.